Okay, so we are in Parashat Vayakel. The portion of Vayakel comes with the word Ka'al. Ka'al means community, or Ka'al means to gather. Now, what exactly happening in Vayakel? What is the story of Vayakel? So the story of Vayakel is the gathering of the people of Israel right after the golden calf. Whatever happened last week with the golden calf, the problem, missed opportunity, everything that can go wrong happened last week, but in the same time, the name of the parasha of last week is Kitesa, as you elevate yourself. So it's kind of a contradiction. Last week is the worst thing the Israelite could do, but still the portion called Kitesa, how you're going to elevate yourself. That's last week. And here is Vayakel. Moses told by God, after a huge negotiation last week when God said, I'm out, I'm giving you an angel, you stay with the people of Israel together with your angel. And Moses say, why? And God answered him last week, because they're very stubborn. They don't listen. They don't follow. And then Moses, those of you who work in cell will appreciate it, reverse it in such a beautiful way. Say, would you guide us because we are stubborn and we are wrong and we are not doing well? So he used last week the negative as a selling point for God, and God go for it and become the God of Israel again. So last week was basically a moment of God is continuing with the Israelite or not. And this week, God is telling Moses kind of weird things based on last week. Last week, everybody was gathering. You know, whatever they did together. Whatever you are from the children of Jacob, or you are Egyptian who get converted, or nobody care, everybody gather. This week, God is telling Moses, only the Israelites. It's kind of interesting. So it's a question for us, how do you define who's your friend? How do you define your time, who you need to spend a time with? How do you make a decision who is your community? Because there is global community all over the world, or sometimes, you know, we're crossing border and we are similar, but it not necessarily are the best people for you. You know, you can meet people, but it doesn't mean you want to be with those people for the rest of your life. How do you separate yourself from the wrong group? How do you join the right group? Because, you know, to be able truly to separate yourself from something which is wrong, it takes a lot of effort, a lot of drama and politics is involved. But to be able to make that shift, that's what your life is about. You know, many public speakers talking about that death is a gift and it's a punishment. How is death can be a gift? Because death gives you the idea that you have a certain amount of time here. So what are you going to do with that time? Spend with the wrong people or the right people? So those questions has to be raised as we are study this week, Parashah, so we can take it to the next level. So let's start right away with the Zohar, because there is a lot of Zohar tonight. So a lot what to read. And basically, and the difference between them, we need to learn that. And it starts right away from the beginning of the Zohar. And hopefully that will find you well and understand it well. It's not a difficult Zohar. It's what they call the simple side of the Zohar. So let's start, see where it's taking us.
And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel. Rabbi Chia opened the discussion with, and Saul said the Kenite, go depart, come and see what is written about Amalek. I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, but the Holy One, blessed be He, remembered all the wars that the other nations waged against Israel. Why mention this particular war? Because there was not a more difficult war before Him as the one waged by Amalek. He explains, but of course this war that Amalek waged was on all sides, up, above, and down below, because all the time the evil serpent strengthened up above and strengthened down below in this world.
Okay, so a lot of times the Zohar, before the Zohar answer a question, the Zohar go to a different section in the Bible and then come back with an answer that been adapted to that study, okay? A lot of times the Zohar, the Talmud, or different type of study will always go to somewhere else to have an understanding, that understanding And basically post it within the question that's been raised now. That's exactly what the Zohar did here. So the Zohar basically start on Vayak El. He said, if you want to understand Vayak El, we have to take you to a different story. What is the different story? King Saul. What's the story with King Saul? King Saul is coming to the area where Gaza is today, and is telling the Kini. Kini is basically the grandchildren of Jethro. Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, they used to live in Jericho. That used to be their place, if you've been in Jericho. So from Jericho, they move to the place where the Amalek is. And King Saul say, listen, I'm about to fight Amalek. If you will stay in the same area, everybody got to go. Now, within that section, there is a message. There is a story, of course, but there is a message. So let's try to understand it. Please.
Like an evil serpent that lurks in ambush on the crossroads, so is Amalek an evil serpent before Israel, that lurked in wait to ambush them on the crossroads, as written. How he laid in wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt, and he lurked in ambush above to defile the temple, which is Malchut, and lurked down below to defile Israel. Whence do we know that? From the verse, met you by the way. It is written here, how he met you by the way, and there, if there be among you any man who is not clean by reason of uncleanliness, that chances by night. In both verses, the words relate to uncleanliness.
Uncleanness. Okay, so the idea, everything related to the nation of Amalek, it's not clear, it's not pure, it's random. So the Amalek, from the story point of view, we're talking about the nation that we have to get rid of. But from a consciousness point of view, we are talking about a concept of how the dark side attacking us. So the dark side usually attacking us by making sure that we will not be able to relate to something that there is order. When you're running out of order is when you start to believe that whatever happened to you, good or bad, is just random. If you think the bad things that happen to you is not part of the plan, or the good things that happen to you is not part of the plan, you're falling into Amalek. For that reason, God said to Moses, you know, you must get rid of those people that call the Amalek, because those are the people who are disturbing. Now, how they disturb? They say that they destroy the person below, and then they destroy the person above. So there is two levels of consciousness that the Amalek is doing to a person. Meaning, try to understand a fight. If somebody want to bring a fight into your house, is to destroy what you believe in and to destroy you. It's not enough to destroy you, because then what you build can build you. So you need to destroy what you built and you. And he writes here that it's saying letame amigdash u amalchut, to create impurity within the temple, and then to create impurity toward the Israel. So there is two things that Amalek need to do. Let's say you have a foundation, you have a marriage, you have a house. It's not enough if you want to destroy a marriage. Hopefully you don't. You know, it's not enough to bother one person or two people. You have also to create a certain problem in the house. Once that happened, then the real destruction happened. Amalek was a systematic about how destruction need to be. Amalek was profound about and special and it's almost like a VIP destruction. So nothing is more powerful than Amalek destruction. For that reason, the Israelite, you know, was told by Moses, by God, stay away from Amalek, and if you have a chance, then get rid of it. For that reason, King Saul had to go to that place where Amalek was, tell the Kini, the tribe of the Kini, to leave for destroy it. But still, it didn't answer us, why do we need to study about Amalek when we come to Vayak El? Let's see what's the third verse telling us.
And therefore it is written about Balaam, and Elohim met Balaam. The word Vayikar denotes impurity, namely, nocturnal pollution as mentioned above. You may say that Elohim is which implies holiness. Yet the Holy One, blessed be He, supplied him that place of defilement to be defiled in it, so that he, Balaam, would be defiled by the same grade to which he cleaved. What did Balaam do? He planned by the offerings he sacrificed to rise to holiness. Immediately, the Holy One, blessed be He, supplied him with that place of defilement. He said to him, "Here is impurity upon you, as befits you." Hence it is written, "And Elohim met Balaam."
So again, he used the word va'ikar. And on Amalek, it says, "Asher karcha." The word karcha or ikar has to do with coincidence. So everything that Balaam worshipped, Balaam was an evil man, like Amalek. They worship for the uncertainty. They worship for coincidence. When you start to believe, you know, the Talmud writes the difference between a righteous and a wicked person. A wicked person believes in coincidence, and a righteous person believes that it's absolutely in order. Everything is in order. You got to ask yourself tonight, what type of person are you? Look at your life. If there is one area in your life that you're not happy about, do you think it's a coincidence? Or you think it's actually a perfect order how God wants my life to be right now, exactly where it needs to be. And through that, I will grow or I will change. You know, Balaam was looking for that area. He was looking to sacrifice for that coincidence, evil, random kind of consciousness. Balaam was looking for that. And by the way, the universe is divided to two types of people. Random, people who believe in random, and people who believe in order. It doesn't matter if you have Yarmulke cross or you pray 5 times a day. It doesn't matter how religious you are. In fact, most of the religious people believe in random. And that's why they go to synagogue or to church so often, because they say, maybe. If you talk to them, say, maybe my prayer will be answered. When you go to synagogue, don't say, oh, this Shabbat, for sure my prayer will be answered. No, they will tell you have too much ego. But that's all certainty look like. So that's what I'm trying to tell you, that randomness, you know, if you look at it, is unfortunately part of that coincidence, part of that dark side, part of that klipa. So God say, okay, Balaam, if you want to worship the randomness, let me help you with that. I'm God, I can help you with whatever you want, good or bad. So He gave him more opportunity to be in the negative side. What is the lesson for us? Where are we acting like Balaam? Let's say you want to do a good thing, but nothing works. You try everything. Do you think that nothing works is not part of the order? When nothing works, don't you think it's part of the order? Of course it's part of the order. Everything is in chaos in your life. Is your chaos is order too? It's been ordered to you on that day, Monday, that things will go wrong. That's also order. But if you don't believe it's an order, that's when Amalek and Balaam start to come in. You understand? So everything is in order. Somebody speak not nice to you. Is that's the order. Somebody stole from you. That's the order. That's exactly the perfect order of life. Nothing is a coincidence. Nothing is random. Once you think it's random, then random your life will be. Then you no longer have control. Then you're jumping into a victim.com mentality, and you're absolutely right to blame people. You're not wrong, because your life is random. Random people have to be victim. Victim people have to blame. So one lead to another. Everything they say, they're right. Yes, it's my wife's fault, it's my husband, it's the weather. You're right. But you're never going to ask one question. But why am I with this wife, with this husband, with this doctor, with this businessman? Why? God wanted it in perfect order. What is the lesson there? Not why it happened to me. That's victim. Why do I need to be in that situation? Somebody walk to pray. Didn't pray for 5 years. Can you imagine after 5 years to pray? The prayer is so sweet, so rich. You know, so he go to pray. And he arriving to the place of prayer. And it's locked. Nah. He say, it's meant to be. So he go back. Say, no luck today. A child passed by, arguing, it's a true story, with his mom. I want it. And the mom say no, and he hear the fighting. And I want it now, he's screaming at his mom about the toy. And his mom answer him, if you really want something, you know it's going to happen. He heard the lesson from the mom to 5 years old, maybe. He went back to the place. And he was waiting next to the door. the cleaning lady of that place where they pray opened the door. And he went in and everybody was there. And I said, listen, why is it locked? Why I ring the bell, nobody opened. So the bell broke about 1 hour ago. After 5 years, the pray, up to you. Do you believe that it was meant to be that the door will be closed and you will beg? Or do you believe that, not open, what can I do? That's what happened to Bilam. Bilam want to worship that coincidence. So his life looked like a coincidence. Continue. Hopefully you understand there is about 150 messages just in those section. So try to get some of them. Those of you who can hear it at home later, again and again, try to hear the audio and the video non-stop of this class. Please, go ahead.
In the same manner, met you, by the way, refers to that supernal evil serpent that was sent to you to defile you on all sides. And if it had not been for Moses becoming strong up above and Joshua down below, Yisrael would not have overcome it. Therefore, the Holy One, blessed be He, bore a grudge against that one for ages. The reason is that he explained to tear the member of the sign of the covenant from its place. And therefore it is written, I remember, namely in remembrance, which is Malchut, because the secret of the Holy Covenant is implied in this world.
Okay, and we'll continue in the next verse, please.
Come and look at the verse. And Saul said to the Kenite.
This is going back to verse 1 now, okay?
Who is the Kenite? It is Jethro. He asks, who placed the children of Jethro in here to dwell in Amalek, their abode being in Jericho? And answers, it is written, and the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up out of the city of palm trees with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah. And when they moved from there, they dwelt in their territory of Amalek until that time when King Saul came and removed the Kenite from Amalek.
We studied it. 6.
For when there are evil people, the righteous and pious that are among them are punished for their sins. This was already explained. That is why Saul removed the Kenite from among Amalek. In the same manner, it is not for the mixed multitude who join Israel. Israel will not have been punished for the sin of the golden calf.
So, we learn a few lessons here. First, the whole idea of Amalek, we got it. King Saul with the Kenite, which is Jethro, removed from the Amalek. Why? Because the Jethro grandchildren were good people. If they're surrounded by the Amalek, they have to die first. So when you're in a community, and within your community, there is wicked people. Evil mean that they believe in coincidence. They believe that everything is random. And you don't, you're going first. Okay? So, I mean, one of the reasons that David and me built Vital, you know, because it's very important for us to educate whoever come here to understand that. And that's why Bezal Hashem, you know, it's kind of new and fresh, but to build it enough community that everybody will have certainty, and through that to build it to the next level. Because unfortunately, when people go to pray, it doesn't matter what your religion is, you know, they go to pray, people forget. And as the place growing, it's growing. But when you have a core people that reminding each other, you know, we are here because we know we want to connect to the order. There is an order coming from above. And there is an order that comes all the way down. The Israelites had to die, had to do the wrong thing because within them was 3,000 Erev Rav. 3,000 mixed multitude. When we studied last week, it's not mixed multitude. The translation should be great evening. Remember, Erev Rav. Remember, we studied last week. Great evening. Why great evening? Because in the evening they used to do the witchcraft. So the idea of the Erev Rav, you know, is there to basically suck all the energy from the good people. For that reason, when you go, you've been invited to wedding, to brit, to bar mitzvah, to different thing. Whatever it is, a spiritual event, you have to be careful. If you are the only one in that place that is believe in certainty and order, the room might suck all the energy away from you. You gotta be careful. Very dangerous. Quite dangerous to go today, even to pray. You know? So if you go to pray, always take a book with you. Book with you that is a book of study. Take the book of study, you know, put it below the book of pray, and always study something. Always study. Focus on the study so your conscience will be in the order, but there. So you are surrounded at that time with Or Mekif, with surrounding light that protect you. Otherwise, you can go to synagogue and actually leave worse than the time you came in. Worse, way worse than you came in. You know, you should pray, like, I hope I come to pray to God and I leave at least the same. At least the same. You should say it to yourself. Unfortunately, most people, and the Zohar talk about it in different places, who go to synagogue or churches or other places, go home worse than there was. Most people, 98%. The Ayin Hara, the amount of evil light that there is, people judge the way you look. People judge everything about you. Dangerous, really become a dangerous thing. Now, why would they judge? Why people judge? Why people give evil eye? Why are they even jealous? Where does it come from? Lack of order, lack of certainty. They're not sure that God give you that beauty for a reason. There is a reason why God shared. Who shared the beauty? Who shared the money? Who shared the wisdom? Who shared everything? God. If there is an order from God that God shared that, what am I jealous for? That's how it's meant to be. So if I want to act like Amalek or Bilam Chas V'Shalom, then I should be jealous. You know? But if you have already that consciousness that I am where I am, and I'm happy where I am because that's a perfect order where God wants to put me. Of course, I can desire more, but to get closer to other communities, you have to be careful. You have to be careful because you're walking into a room that nobody believes in nothing. God is it's a joke. It's a clown. It's a clown. Hey, of course I believe in God. One person tell you, of course I believe in God. That means, of course I don't. Just add, I don't. Like somebody come, somebody told me is famous, and they come, and they said to me, are you really good? You know, I'm doing healing upstairs in my room. So I'm doing healing. So I said, I don't know if I'm good. How would I know if I'm good? So excuse me, you know, I have a lot of problem. I came all the way, I pay, and now you tell me I'm not sure if you're good. So I don't know if I'm good. I do Kabbalistic healing, but I don't know if I'm good. So why am I here on the bed? I don't know. I said, you pay, you make appointment, you're on the bed. You want to get off? So no. So I said to him, so why you answer me like that? I said to him, because I live in New York for 12 years, and we believe the proof is in the pudding. When you go home, if you're good, and you have a dream exactly when I will tell you will have a dream, then I'm good. If you're not going to have it, then I'm not good. Is that the deal? You love it. You love it. Not only love it, you came back. The idea, my friend, you cannot go with people who say, of course I believe in God. Order. Order. Always order. Everything is in order. It has to be in order. Today, in the name of God, how many people believe in God? But they believe in my God. It is my God. Not yours, it's mine. My order. But if there is a perfect order, every single lost, Chas V'Shalom, and every single win, the divine is involved in this. In a beautiful way. It's so perfect. But if you are around people who don't, it's called Reshaim, then you have a problem. Be careful. Difficult to protect yourself. You know, whoever have that gift, have that gift. I cannot, I mean, if you'll be next to me, I mean, like my children sometimes sit next to me and they ask me what's going on. Tell them, well, just lower your eyes here, look to the left, look to the right. Because sometimes people who look at you, that's it. You're gone. The energy you collect for 1 year, gone. Like no tomorrow, gone. Very hard to bring it back, by the way. Very difficult. Got to be careful. It doesn't mean not to talk to people anymore. Go to the mall, it's easier. Go to the mall, nobody even look at you. They look at the clothes. Nobody even look at you. Nobody even care. You go to the synagogue, to church. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Look at your shoes. Oh my God, I didn't know she has money. You know how much cost a pair of shoes like this? $400. You're gone. You're gone. The week is gone. You pray to God. In that moment, everything is crushed. I know you're laughing, but you don't understand. Like you said, I see people. I mean, well, I see in my life 20,000 people. So I meet. I know the complete people. I said, why would you be jealous? You know, if you believe God running the show, why? Okay? Sometimes people want children. You have, they don't. Sometimes people want beauty. You have, they don't. Some people want wisdom. You have, they don't. It's a mess. But when a person is absolute certainty, that's the order, so he's getting out of the Amalek and Bilam consciousness, wow, those are the people. And that's what Debbie and me try. It's not easy to build it. because it's a commitment of consciousness. We're not asking people to commit with words or how good you pray and how big is your yarmulke. We ask something else, your heart and mind. Ask. Ask to see it. Ask to be in order. It's very important. I would like to read another verse here, please.
Come and see what is written above of every man whose heart prompts him, which includes everyone, even the mixed multitude. This is because the Holy One, blessed be He, wanted to build the tabernacle from all sides, the inner part and the shell. And since there were a mixed multitude among them, it was said, of every man whose heart prompts him, in order to include them in Yisrael, who are the inner part. Thus, everyone was commanded to take a part in the tabernacle.
Okay, now, look what happened.
Afterwards, people came together according to their ilk, and the mixed multitude came and created the calf, and those from among Yisrael were drawn towards them who eventually died. The mixed multitude brought upon Yisrael death and killings. The Holy One, blessed be He, said, from now on, the building of the tabernacle would be performed only on the part of Yisrael. At once, Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Yisrael together. Afterwards, it is written, take from among you an offering to Hashem. From among you, surely, instead of as written before, of every man whose heart prompts him. And Moses gathered, where did he gather them from? Because a mixed multitude was among them, Moses had to gather and separate Yisrael from among them.
Beautiful. You know, Debbie once asked me, what will be things that can change, you know, the world? Like, what this will be the least, the easiest thing to do? I said to her, if you find me 13 men, who will pray with me with the right consciousness, I promise you in 1 year, everything will not be the same. And just to do it, the prayers to be right conscious, everything in the right conscious, you know, every Shabbat, every day. And then we can shift the whole global universe. She looked at me, just 13? I say, you got me 13, you got whatever you want, anything you want, if you got those 13 people. And it's funny, you know, we are now today 2 years to the time we start. And I look at Debbie today, we laugh about it. I said, no, Debbie, you got me the 13. You say, it's so difficult. I can get anything, but 13 men will do it with you? This is crazy. And she said to me, we live here on peak with 1,000 people. But 13 people will commit. Try, whoever wanted to take that task. And I'm ready to bet with you, it will be hard. But if you do it, you know now that those 13 men, once I sit with them, I teach them everything about the prayer, the meditation, and everything. Okay, I'm sorry, I want to say 13 women too, but it's work with men because men came into this world to correct something. It's a correction for the men. But when that man, and every time, you know, people introduce me to some men, like Michelle introduced me to somebody, say, okay, I think something. So what I do, I take the men and I push them, what to say, in an illogical way. If you cannot stand an illogical way, you're definitely not a logical person. You know, I always give the task of a human being. What is the task? When things going well, to survive? No. When things going terrible. You know, nothing makes sense to you. Would you still go with that? Those are not the right warrior to make a change. But if nothing makes sense and you continue to be spiritual, that's the right person. So always, you know, I tell a joke, I tell something, I look silly, I look tough, I can act whatever I want, those of you who know me. So, and then I see the reaction. And then the person all of a sudden disappears. Will never come back here. Will never come back. Ever. Even you pay him. You pay him, say, let me pay you 5,000. Will you come back, please? No. What happened? I don't know. So you want to tell me that that's coincidence? No, it's not. It's a beautiful part of life. Of course, for me, there is a task. For the human being, there is a task out there. For both sides. And to understand, to meet those 13 people, 13 men, more specifically, to be able to do that, I put all of you on the task. And I'm telling you, it will be something that can shift the whole city in no time. Talk about no time, like that. But you don't understand it. So sometimes we are doing holiday like Purim and Passover, and we do it, people are coming, it's nice. And many marketing people don't like when I speak like this in front of the camera because people are seeing it. It's not a good name for me. Why would I say that? Because I quite frankly, those of you who know me, I quite don't care, you know, what people think, you know? So I care about the purpose. I care about the goal. And the goal is to achieve that order. order and to remove the Erev Av from the conscious. Otherwise, what's change? What's going to change? What's going to change? You build another synagogue, you build another thing, you know, you build another thing. Wow, amazing, another Torah, another thing, another church, another cross, another prayer. What happened? 2,000 years, nothing. You want to tell you what happened? Nothing. Since the temple been destroyed, what happened? Nothing. And everybody walking around like they will be the righteous of the generation. Ah, I know. That's it. That's it. We're changing it. Why? What changed? What changed? We study. There is a place here. We study more Torah. We study Torah, right? I mean, that's hopefully you understand. It's not the purpose. Just to study. And I always upset. I like to upset people who study, like religious or spiritual. I say, you know, would you believe Moses studied better than you? I say, yeah, of course. I mean, what has to do with anything? I say, it's good to study, but what's the goal? What's the goal? What's the goal? What's the purpose of that study? Where is it going? What is it for? To be knowledgeable? To pray more? People before us pray better. I think Dari pray better. Rabbi Chaim Vital pray better. Ben Ishchai pray better. So what is the change? Ben Ishchai has a goal. People walking around with a small goal. It's disgusting. People walk with a small, that small goal. Small goal. The goal has to be, and I see sometimes priest, rabbi, minister, with 1,000 people around them. They don't even know what to do with this. 100 people around them. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? What are you doing? 20 people with them. What's the next? Take a risk. Take a risk with that. Do something. Do something. Don't you see that the dark side choose you to have them? Because the dark side know that definitely no good will come from here. That's why you have Torah, you have everything going good for you. Because nothing good will come from here. Besides people coming, feeling good, they pray, going home. What happened? Nothing. Absolutely nothing for 2,000 years. And that's the sick, how it works. And if you don't see it, you have to check yourself. If you're not shocked by that, you have to check, why am I not shocked? Why am I part of tradition? Tradition, you know, that word is a lot in Fiddler on the Roof. Those of you who saw it, tradition, you know? What is tradition? In Hebrew, it's called Mesorah. Mesorah for the limso, pass on from generation to generation. But if tradition is all what you have, there's nothing you have. If religion is all what you have, you don't have. You need to have a goal for everything. Why am I praying? Those of you who keep religion, why are you praying? Why are you studying? What different I'm going to be after I leave this door? What is my level of desire? It's all the time to check. You cannot die while you're alive. Death happens in the end of life, not while you're alive. And if you are dead while you're alive, you're wasting your time here. What are you doing? You're wasting time and money. You want to die in the end, not in the middle. And for that, you're going to have desire. Desire. Can't sleep at night if nothing changed. What are you sleeping for? What are you working for? What are you making money for? What do you even live for? Making children? Build a house? Buy some, I don't know, something good? Travel the world to see the Thailand, the blue water? Or the Maldives, the light blue water? And cleaner. And a different fish that I didn't see here in LA. Whoa, let me see a fish I ate there. Different fish that I ate there. Ooh, different salt. Different thing. Different. And what happened? Nothing. Nothing. So many people in a cemetery, it should be written on their grave, you know, I thought I could do better, but usually it's in the end. Don't sit and watch. Don't. Do something. Don't sit and watch. Make something. Because heaven is ready for us. The Messiah, ready for us. The good, ready for us. For everybody. But we don't need a lot. As I say, 13 men,
We don't need a lot. You don't need a lot. Those 13 men, once I guide them and I teach them step by step how to do it, and they're not people who come to pray, they come to be a warrior. We talk about a war. It's not a war against people. It's a war against the consciousness. But if you just leave your tradition, tradition, what a stupid word. Tradition, it's almost like Nesoret. You know what Nesoret, Masoret, Nesoret is what left after you cut some woods. Tradition. And it's not the fault of the people. I was looking around. It's the fault of the rabbi. Because the rabbi in town doesn't have a desire. What they have, give a lecture, 20 minutes, go home, eat your food, go to sleep, and go start again. You know Tom Cruise, the movie, when it's always start again the same time? I don't know the name of that movie. It's always start again. He die, start again. Die, start again. Die, start again. Or the other movie, Groundhog Day, I always tell people, if people know your name in the coffee shop, quit that coffee shop now. There's been something wrong with your life. They shouldn't know your name. You're too long there. There's people with a computer in Starbucks. What do you do all day? What do you do? I'm thinking. Thinking? Go do something. Don't think. And that's the problem with the Erev Rav. The mixed multitude. That all consciousness is to put you in a place like, I believe in God. If God wanted to be better, he would make it better. I hear people say that. If I could throw up on them and it would be legal, I will do it. I will do it. Only Debbie knows how far I can go. Thank God there is Debbie in my life. I mean, Yvette knows me from before. Okay? There's no limit to how far I can go. But there is limit, there is thing. And I see some rabbi teach people the laws. It's called halacha. The laws. When you wash your hand, when you don't wash your hand. And I see people, wash your brain. You don't even know what's going on. Wash your brain. Wash, you take the brain, wash it. Put it back. Wash your hand. How to wash your hand? Left before the right. They are so far. Washing the hand is for righteous. First, let's wash the brain. Teach them how to think. What to think. It's okay if you miss something, but how to think. Are you thinking well? Are you thinking well? Next level. Next level. We train to hate our enemy. Like our enemy is the problem. The Zohar is telling us there is a solution for everything. Just change here something. Change here and let God take care of it. I mean, I don't know if you hear about God. I mean, this God that people talk about, okay? They always talk about God, God, and the Israelite, and God, and the Israelite. But that's God. I don't know if you heard about it. He get us out of Egypt. He opened the Red Sea. I don't know if you heard the story. If you believe that happened, okay? So why doesn't it happen? I didn't see Pico split. I didn't see anything happen lately. The last conversation a human has with God was a long time ago. Long time ago. But I gotta believe. Because what sells the best? Fear. I'm gonna scare you so bad, so you're coming back. When people are coming to the synagogue and churches, disease, loss of money, loss of someone. Oh God, I need you. God, I need you. You know, God also delivers good things without you having pain. I don't know if you heard about it. You don't need to have problem, and on top of the good will be double the good. Guys, let's see what happened in heaven and how it worked in heaven. Okay? This is the Messiah everybody waiting for, just to let you know, exists. But it don't exist yesterday. It don't exist in that religion or that religion, Christianity or Chabad or some. It exists all the time. Waiting for the people, for those 13 people, men, to make some conscious change. I had a girl who came to see me. She said, Eliyahu. She's very sweet. But the way she speaks, she's the best. I met her 2 weeks ago. She's a journalist. I don't know if you ever met a journalist. They have vocabulary of English. She's from New York. The best words. And she tried to get married. And she moved from New York to LA. And she was hoping to find a nice guy here. So we're meeting at a coffee place. I cannot do how...
I cannot speak like her. She's English is so good. And she say, I wish I could remember the words she chose. She said, well, it's something off with me. You know, I'm a New Yorker, you know, Upper East Side. I live in Long Island. Is the man okay? Is the man all okay in California? So yeah, okay. No, I want to ask you something. I want to give you a few questions. She was ready with a paper. She showed me like few comments what the men write and say, is this normal? I want to ask you that. It seemed weak. It seemed they're not going for it. It seemed like they're waiting or something. They're on a waiting list or something. So I didn't know what to answer. I said, can we move to the next question? I mean, this is a tough one. And I wish, the reason it's not funny because it's me trying to say what she said. And I cannot say everything she said because she used rough words. And the idea is to understand that everything is already here. But there is not enough people that are awakening that consciousness to happen. And it's never the fault of the people. Remember, like I say on Thursday when I teach the Tikkuni Zohar, if you don't understand that, it's never your fault. It's the teacher's fault. Okay? Always remember. So the teachers are not guiding the community, the people. Hey, we got to make a change. And it's never, always remember. It doesn't mean we're going to point finger at the rabbi and priest and minister. That's not the point. But we have to make a change. We have to make a shift. Let's see what happened in heaven now.
When they tell the Messiah about the Star of Yisrael in exile and about the wicked one among them who do not care to know their master, he raises his voice in crying for the wicked among them, as is written. But he had shuddered because of our transgressions, heartbroken because of our inequities. The soul returns and remains in their places.
Okay, this is, I think, simple. Let's see what happened after.
In the Garden of Eden, there is one temple called the Temple of the Sick. The Messiah enters that temple and calls upon all the diseases, the pains and agonies of Yisrael to descend upon him. And they all descend upon him. But for him who eases them off Yisrael and takes them upon himself, no man would have been able to bear the sufferings of Yisrael for the punishments of the Torah. This is the meaning of he has borne our sickness. In the same manner, Rabbi Elazar on earth used to take suffering upon himself for the sake of Yisrael.
So we know that there is what we call Israel. But what is Israel? Israel, if you change the order of the letter, Li Rosh, I have a head. Li Rosh, I have a head. Meaning, to be in Israel, you have to have a head. What does that mean, to have a head? You have to have a head. You have to know. You have to be aware of the consciousness, of the awareness, of to have a head, to have Keter, to have the crown, to have connecting to something deeper. And the idea is a chamber of the sick. What is sick? There's different sickness. There is mental disease, and there is basically physical disease and spiritual disease. Spiritual disease, when you no longer believe that there is order coming from the Creator. Mental disease, we all know what mental disease is. And physical disease is when the body starts to collapse. Unfortunately, in our world, people get confused between mental disease and spiritual disease. They call it the same thing. And for that reason, a lot of people going to spiritual places to cure their mental disease. Now you know why it's chaotic there, right? They're going to pray to God to remove their, bipolar disease. You can't. You have to take a pill. You have to do something about it. You know? So the mental disease, spiritual disease, physical disease. The Messiah, okay, which is not somebody who come on a donkey, it's somebody that exists, but waiting for us to create a revelation. It's called Or de Chassadim. So the Messiah is Or de Chochmah, but he doesn't have a place where to go. There's not enough power within us to understand that we cannot go back to our little stupid tradition. We need to bring it down. But to bring it down, need to be a change. One rabbi, his name is Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar used to take pain on himself. So people who are not acting in a spiritual way will not fall into that category of judgment and negativity because there is a perfect order. So there is people that come to this world, come to this universe to make sure to connect people. But if the person was not capable to connect, at least they will bring the pain away from them. Because when you are suffering from physical pain or spiritual pain or mental pain, you no longer can connect to the Creator. Pain,
give you, put you in exile. You no longer can connect to anything. So the Messiah is coming and making sure that the pain will not be as bad as it need to be for those people. When you connect to the Torah, what is actually the Torah? The study of the Torah, the study that we're doing here, that everybody's teaching different places, is the purpose of it, is to clean my selfish desire, and through that, I will be ready to connect. A lot of time when people study, they connect to the intellectual study, to the understanding or lack of understanding. And then they miss the whole point of connecting to the divine. And for that reason, that's a problem. So, a teacher has to say all the time, we are connecting here for change, for transformation, not just for understanding. And he continue, please continue.
The sufferings daily in wait for man for the punishments of the Torah are innumerable, and they all descend into the world where the Torah was given. When Israel dwelt in the Holy Land, they averted those illnesses and agonies by way of sacrifices. Now the Messiah removes them from the world, until a man passes away from the world and receives punishment, and as we learned. When the sins are many, the person is put in Gehinnom, in the lower sections, where he receives heavy punishment because of the pollution in the soul. Then more fire is kindled to consume that filth.
Okay, so now you know where the fire idea came from. It's not a fire as a punishment, it's a fire to do what? To burn that extra fat. When you go to the gym and you look at the calorie that you burn, what do you call it? Calorie burn? Is that the name for it? I want to make sure we're all on the same page. Calorie burn. Are you suffering from the calorie burn when you see the amount of calorie you burn? You've just been burned, your calorie, and you see it on that little screen, how much calorie you burn. How come you're not upset? That's your hell, right? That's your hell. This is it. About 3 months ago, I injured myself really bad in the tennis because I thought I'm 22 years old. So I decided to play with a champion, way high level. Wrong move, but those of you who know me, I'm very stubborn and competitive. So I go and play. I hit myself really bad. Go to see a doctor. You know, when you fall in the worst doctor, worst situation, lead to another worst situation. You're in pain. You're going to find another doctor who is in a different situation. So one lead to another. The doctor doesn't have time. Hey, I got to go on vacation. He told me. I said to him, oh my God, what a doctor I have. And then the nurse, it's an E. And nurse E is coming. Say, okay, how much you weigh? Then what? I say, you want to measure? I say, no, I got to go. I don't have time. I say, that's a bad day. What's going on? And I say, you know what? We don't know what to do. Just go MRI. And the whole thing. So I'm going to MRI. I hear the doctor say to his secretary, listen, I didn't take the vacation last week. I really got to take vacation. So he take me for about 3 minutes. Yeah, the MRI look good. X-ray is good. Yeah, so just, lose weight. Goodbye. So, doctor, can you a little bit attention here or something? And in my mind, I remember it meant to be, I have a doctor like this, a nurse like this, a day like this. So he said, yeah, listen, I sent you to physical therapy. So you got to wait. Physical therapy, there is a line. Oh! So I'm going to physical therapy. Actually, it happened today after 3 months. You know, this is 3 months period. 3 months period. So it's a lady. And she teach me about, I think it's called hamstring, which usually when you play tennis, you work on different type of muscles. So she tell me, she measured it actually. Well, it's not long enough for your size. So how do you, there is a certain, let me show you. She start teaching me. So listen, I trust you. No, I got to teach you. I said, I don't want to learn. I just tell me what to do. What to do? She says, stretching is the name of the game here. So my God. And I thought, sport is the hardest thing. And then I found something called stretching. And the burn, you burn calorie. I'm telling you, when you stretch in that stretching that I went through today, for half an hour, I thought it would be like, felt like burning in hell. Your muscles are burning, everything is burning. The question is, why when we think about hell, we think of punishment, but when we go to the gym and we're burning calorie, we think about it as a reward. It's a weird think, and I think it's all consciousness. Why? Let's say you want to work on the ego, and you are a husband and wife, and you come home and your wife crush you about something you didn't do. But you work on the ego already. Why don't you say, thank you so much. All day long I'm waiting for somebody to crush me and you came, God, it's so sweet. No, Chas v'shalom, God forbid. She crushed me, I'm gonna crush back. No longer ego therapy. Now it's something went wrong. How can you talk to me this way? I talk to you this way, you should see what I talk. And it never ends. What happened? Why burning calorie? Good, because I decided, because I'm the boss, because I'm controlled, nobody burn my fat, I burn it myself. No, people go. You go in La Cienega, there is something called, I think it's called ice burning or something like that. Or ice, removing the fat with ice. What is the name? I don't know. There's a sign. Real food daily. What? Freezing the fat and no longer it's there. I don't know if there is burning fat with machine. Maybe there is. Oh, there is? Okay. So there is all kind of thing. But we are going crazy for that. Crazy. In hell, the extra fat that the person get, gotta give it back. What does the extra fat look like? Selfishness, jealousy, cursing, everything about that don't belong to you. So they want to bring you back to where you belong. But you cannot come with all this negativity that don't belong to you. Do you believe your negativity belongs to you? God forbid. The worst thing you ever did, it's not you. The worst you ever did, not you. You are a tzaddik who covered by negativity. Everybody is righteous. But you cover with some negativity. You got to burn it. You got to burn it. You know, in here, I don't know if you ever see, you know what a shawarma is? You know that meat that going around in shawarma? It's in every restaurant. In Israel, it's more often you would see that on top of the shawarma, they put like thick fat. I don't know if you ever saw. It's a lamb and that fat falling down on the meat and make it crispy, right? If it doesn't burn, it doesn't taste good. You gotta burn the fat. This week is about fat burning, but not the way you're thinking. It's about burning the fat. What is the fat that's disturbing you to go to next level? If I can teach you a way that you can make tomorrow $1 million, but you have to learn something, would you take any insult from me? You wouldn't care a bit, because you see the goal. Once you see the goal, then the burning is no longer disturbing you. But if you don't see the goal, what happened? Every little thing bothers you. How can you talk to me this way? Honey, I'm talking to you this way because I'm training you for tomorrow. You're supposed to receive $1 million. So I'm lowering your ego. It's all about your goal. If your goal is to be important in the eyes of your wife, then let her respect you. Honey, you are the best. Honey, you are amazing. Honey, you are beautiful. You are the smartest. I love it. Is that what you want? Okay. You have one audience. You know what's the name of the audience? Your wife. You're going to go outside, life will hit you bad. Or you want your wife to hit you bad, and when you get out of the house, yeah, baby, I'm ready for everything. The biggest gift I got, you know, this year was for my son, Yehuda. When he picked up the phone and called me, thank you for preparing me for what's coming. Thank you for preparing me. I'm not Mr. Nice Guy as a father. I'm not easy as a father to be with. You know, I say the way it is. I put things on the table. Not nice. But I told him before he left, I said to him, whatever you're going to meet out there, nothing will be like me. It will be way easier than me. And we laugh about it all the time. You know, the idea is, and I'm not telling you to do it with your kids. It's not for every father to do it. It's not for every children to accept it. I'm just saying it's a style. And a parent has to check if there is a true love before he does it. You know, if there is no true love, it's not going to work. What I'm trying to tell you is purpose of the parents, and I always say, is for the kids to make it, not for the parents to make it. If the parents make it, the kids will never make it. You have to remember, if the parents make it, kids are not going to make it. But if the purpose of the parents is for the kids to make it, can both make it? Of course, can both make it. But you have to be careful. Once you do well and you want to sustain your children, sometimes you forget to teach them how to make it. So they live off you. But they never, when the apple has to
fall from the tree and the seed has to go into the ground, the seed will never make it because they don't know how. So many people have everything and a great parents and they give them everything. Money, love, vacation, everything. But they don't give them a lesson of how to make it. Remember, and please remember it well. Your life in this week parasha, and hopefully you saw that I stopped it, I don't continue with the Zohar. It's to get it in a way that either you hate your spirituality or you love it to death. But don't be in between, please. Don't be in between. Those people in between are not even considered like they were born. They're dead. They're considered dead to begin with. Last week, Haftarah, they tell the story about Elisha the prophet. And me and my son Michael was laughing as we're reading it, because we know Yehuda, my son, loved this Haftarah. It's almost like a joke, Haftarah. The story goes about Elisha the prophet say to the Israelite, if you believe in the idol worshipping, go for it. If you believe in God, go for it. But you cannot go for both. A new concept written by Elisha the prophet in the book Kings. Why not a little bit from here, a little bit from there? You are halfway vegan, halfway vegetarians. Nobody go to the gym every day. We're mixed. When it's come to define who you are, you go for it. Today I had a great conversation with a lady, wonderful lady. I don't know if you want me to say her name because she's on video. She lives now in Pennsylvania. She did a move. She did a move that today I talked to her. I'm so inspired. And the move she made, not just to move there, she changed. And when you see somebody who changed, you get inspired. It's nothing to do with teacher, student level. It has to do with the human being. You see, like, wow. How? How did you do that? And today she showed me a story. She's from Europe. She's European. And she said, I gave myself a chance to get this deal. And if that's not the deal, I'm going back to Europe where I came from. And I left it. I let go 100%. And somehow a deal presented itself to her. The bank was nice to her. The bank said, no, you don't need to borrow. We will take care of it. The whole thing, 1 to 10, everything perfect. And she told me, whatever it works or it doesn't work, I'm okay. She reached that level of connecting to the divine, to God, that good or bad, it's good. Good or bad, it's good. How can good and bad be the same? Because you have to ask yourself a question. Who are you? What's your purpose? Is your purpose to get only that good? Then even the good coming will be bad. But if your purpose is, I want to be connected to the divine no matter what, then whenever the bad comes, there's a lesson. Whenever the good comes, there is a rewarding. But it's nothing to do with me. Stop making it all about you and be so emotional. Stop. People love me, people hate me. No, I am part of creation. And as part of creation, I would like to get to a level that I'm connected to that creation. I'm connected to that divine. King David, I mean, I don't think we find somebody more spiritual than King David. If you look what he writes in his book, Tehillim, Achat sha'alti me'et Hashem, one thing I'm asking from the divine, we would think money, diamonds, shifti bevet Hashem kol yemei chayai, to be in the house of God, the Lord, my entire life. That's it. That's it. Why? Because if I'm connecting to the one that I believe created everything, that's enough for me. We got to pray for a little bit better car, better these, better. You're allowed. By the way, I'm not saying you're not allowed. Health, you're allowed. But when you pray, and I don't know if you have time, 10 or 15 more minutes, I can show you in the Zohar how to pray. Do we have 15 minutes or you got to go? Most of you got to go? I'll show it. If you leave, it doesn't insult me. Let me show you what the Zohar said about pray. Please read it. We're going to try to do it as fast as I can.
By the time a man reaches true and certain, everything is already established. The maids conduct Malchu, and she bears herself to the High King Zeranpin. Once we reach who has redeemed Israel, the High Holy King travels in his grades, in the order of the three columns, and comes out to receive her Malchut.
So basically, we're talking about the prayer of the Amidah in the morning. In the morning, there is a time where the man, okay, women can do it as well, stand up in something called Amidah, and he connect to the divine. What exactly is so important about that Amidah? He say that the Malchut and Zerapin are joined, meaning the male force of the divine, the female force of the divine are connecting. That's what happened when we pray. Let's see what happened. Please continue.
And we have to stand up before the High Holy King in awe and trembling, for then he reaches his right hand to her, which is the benediction of the shield of Abraham, the secret of the right column. Then he put his left hand under her head, according to the secret of his left hand is under my head, which is the benediction of you are eternally mighty, which is the left column. They then embrace together in kisses in the benediction of the Holy El, which is a central column, for from there is a secret of the kiss until the last three benedictions. These are the first three benedictions of the Amidah. A man should devote his heart and will and meditate on all those arrangements and sequences of the prayer with his mouth, heart, and will together.
So basically the first three blessings of the Amidah, you are becoming a shatran. You are becoming a matchmaker between God and the Shekhinah. You are putting them together. Can you imagine that mission? How can you not trembling if you believe there is divine? You are actually standing there and you become a matchmaker between Zerapin and Malchut. You become a matchmaker between those two forces in the first three blessings. You are part of it. You are part of that. You're not doing tradition. It's happening now. Now. If you're doing tradition, you connect to something that happened 2,000 years ago, which is history. What happened to you when you see on History Channel the Second World War? You eat popcorn. You're watching history. But what happened if you are in it? You are acting different. And that's the sad part about tradition. They make people believe, okay, I'm doing like my grandfather and my father and my great-grandfather and my great-grandfather. And what they did? They also hold the book, move their body, and say words and pray. But what they think and how feel, I don't know. That's what they think. That's 2,000 years ago. Continue, please. Continue.
Now that the High King and Malchut are blissfully united in those kisses, whoever needs to ask for any request or petitions may do so, because it is a time of goodwill. Since a man submits his request before the king and queen, namely in the middle 12 benedictions, then he should prepare himself in will and heart to the last three benedictions to stir the secret bliss, because from these three benedictions he is blessed by a different devotion, the secret of unison. And a man should prepare to leave them in the secret bliss in these three benedictions as was expounded at length. Therefore, he should wish it that the lower beings be blessed from those three benedictions of the secret bliss.
I just want to, I know it's long, so I'm trying to skip it, that you will not stay too long.
The Holy One, blessed be He, names that man Peace, as it is written, and Hashem called him Peace. And all his days he is thus called above Peace, because he comprised and adorned the Queen from below, as did the upper Peace, which is Yesod, as was mentioned before.
And the last part here, please.
And when that man passes away from this world, his soul goes up and cleaves all the firmaments, and no one can stop it. The Holy One, blessed be He, calls it and says, let peace enter. And the Shekhinah says, them that rest in their graves, 13 mountains of pure balsam trees are open before the soul, and none can detain it. Therefore, happy is he who puts his heart and will into it. That is why it is written, whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of Hashem to the High King, namely, as I said.
Can you imagine 13 men reading it before every Amidah? Can you imagine? How will be their Amidah? It will not be a memory of somebody from tradition. It will be, wow, it's happening now. Now it's happening. The Messiah happened now. The connection between Zerapin and Malchut happened now. The groom and the bride are meeting now. Everything is happening now. How does that feel like? Totally different. But if you are connected to it just because of tradition, just another day, another day, another day. People asked me the other day, why is this exile supposed to be the worst from all the exile? Because nobody will bother you. Does anybody ever bother you to pray? Nobody will bother you to pray. Because our prayer is not even close to the beginning of our prayer need to be like. So even the dark side, let them pray. Let them pray. Nothing going on. They tradition people. They just keep tradition. They do what their grandparents did and that's it. But what about if we decided to do something that we are actually in the moment, it will be the first prayer ever been done. You have to think it that way. And all the prayer in the world depends on that prayer. Do you think the dark side will let that happen? It will be every soldier of the dark lord coming after that minyan. So now you think about those 13 men that Debbie and me tried to accomplish. Why is it so difficult? Join us. Join us for the war. Join us. Don't join us for the peace. Those of you who want to join for peace, have a war around them. Those of you who want to join the war, has a peace around them. And that's why you want to create a war, not to lose that peace. Thank you. Have a good evening, everybody. Thank you.